This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, sex and society. Tonight's guest, Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council of the United States. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in the country. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. And now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Just what is sex education? And just what should be taught in sex education programs? Our Night Call guest tonight is Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council. In her opinion, sex education is not just explaining how babies are born. She believes children should spend far more time discussing the art of relating to other people, not only in sex, but in parent-child relationships, marriage relationships, friendships, dating, and talking about what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman. Dr. Calderon is standing by now in New York City to answer your questions. Dr. Calderon, good evening.
Good evening, Del.
And thank you very much for being with us.
I'm delighted.
Doctor, we use the word sex in many different ways. Could you tell us, what is sex?
Well, sex, most commonly, is used to denote the erotic, the genital, the act. And so, in the Sex Information and Education Council, we're getting away from this word and using the word sexuality, meaning the wholeness of a person as man or woman. This includes, of course, the erotic, the genital, but it isn't the whole of it. So that I prefer to use sexuality, and we're talking about education for sexuality rather than sex education. How does that strike you?
Well, I don't know if I can answer my next question.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I do to you?
Well, what is the purpose of sex, Doctor?
That's a question I like to throw out to the young people. That's actually the key question, and you've asked it right at the beginning. I don't think anybody can answer that for us but ourselves. And actually, we answer it in different ways at different times in our lives. But I have asked it many times with young people as they sat around discussing a lecture that I've given. And it gets them thinking, it gets them going, and nobody ever really answers it. It's a good question, though. I'm not going to answer it.
Well, Doctor, do we fear sex in America?
I think we do, yes. I think that, as a matter of fact, many cultures have feared sex. They have been very restrictive about it, very fearful, very punitive about any manifestation of sex. We are too, actually. We're a strange mixture of over-permissiveness and going overboard about it on one hand, and being fearful of the realities of it on the other hand. We're really going to have to do a great deal of straightening out of our thinking, I think.
There seems to be a new freedom today in exposing sex or sexuality in movies and books and other media. Does this new freedom help us in our sexual education?
I think that we have to understand the new freedom. It's a new freedom that isn't only related to sex. It's related to many, many things, many aspects of our lives. And I also think that the commercial interests haven't been at all backward in capitalizing on sex. I don't think we'd be as free if it hadn't been that advertising and Hollywood found that sex sells goods to the public. Now, what this is doing to the young, I think, is a matter of debate, but there's no question about it that when the young observe adults using sex as a gimmick, as a commercial come-on, I don't think they develop too much respect for this gimmick, this come-on. They think, well, it's just something you can kick around, something you can exploit, and you want to kick. And we failed, rather, in trying to clarify to the young the real, the many roles of sex and sexuality in our lives. I don't think that Some of these films are really damaging, provided they are interpreted and discussed with the young.
Doctor, we have calls standing by. We're going to go to our night call listeners tonight, who I know will look forward to talking to you. But just before we go to our first caller, I'd like to remind our night call listeners that Night Call is your program, and we want to hear from you. And once again, here are our numbers. From the East and Midwest, you may call us collect at area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. From the West Coast, you may call us collect at area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area, please call us at 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Tonight, Sex and Society, our guest is Dr. Mary Calderon, calling in from New York City. And we'll take our first caller from New Concord, Ohio. Miss Lance is hearing Night Call over WMCO-FM. Miss Lance, good evening.
Good evening.
Your question, ma'am.
I would like to ask Dr. Calderon if she thinks that the modern society, there is more premarital sex than there was in the last generation, the generation of our parents.
That's an interesting question, because there have been some studies that indicate that it's just about the same proportion of college girls, at least, is non-virginal. Just about the same percentage. However, I think there's been a great increase of extramarital sex. You were talking about premarital sex.
Yes.
There is a great deal more sex play, not actual intercourse, but there is a great deal more sex play at younger ages. There is the main difference.
Well, do you think this is due to sex education?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think this is due to sex education?
No, sex play.
What I'm trying to say is, do you think that people play with sex more now because they know more about it, it's more out in the open than it was?
No, I don't think that's the reason. I think the whole thing has gone along with a general freeing of all restraints. We are more violent than we ever were. We are less polite. We want what we want when we want it. We buy what we want when we want it. We drop jobs at the drop of a hat. We go where we want when we want to. We fly everywhere. The restraints in life are very different. For instance, I'm 64. When I was growing up, things were very different indeed. The society would not have led me on to behave as the society, I think, is freeing or everybody to behave today, not just about sex.
Thank you, Dr. Calderon.
Thank you for calling. Sex and Society tonight is our conversation with Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council of the United States. She's calling in from New York. And once again, our telephone number is in New York. It's 866-5010. And if you're calling from the East and the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. And on the West Coast, area code 212-749-3357. Dr. Calderon, in our opening statement, we stressed kind of heavily that you believe that children should spend far more time discussing the odd relations to other people, and not only in sex, but in parent-child relationships. How does a parent begin the process of teaching a child the total relationship?
First of all, by not waiting until the child is 8 to sit him down or sit her down and solemnly say, now I've got some things to tell you. The communication should begin very, very early. When a child is 3 and the neighbor has a baby, you can talk about the baby and how babies have mothers and fathers. The relationship of families is of great importance. Children love to talk and discuss and play, take the roles of mothers and fathers. Mothers do this, fathers do that. And this can be carried on all the way through the kindergarten years. Certainly by the time a child comes into kindergarten, he's had a great deal of sex education just from observation of the adults around him. But I think that mothers and fathers should be in on this too, should open the channels of communication very young. Not forcing a lot of unnecessary information, but indicating that this is a great area of life that we can talk about, that's wonderful and exciting and very important to talk about when we have questions.
Are most parents able or capable of relating to their children about sexuality?
No, I think this is one of the great difficulties we see. Parents have a little bit easier time with their elementary school children Although even here, apparently there's a feeling that if I talk about this, it's autobiographical. So my child will be thinking, my mother and my father are doing this. And this rather closes the throat of many, many parents. It gets much harder, of course, when the children are adolescent. And it's the rare parent who really has a completely open relationship with an adolescent child, so that the child feels really comfortable at expressing the anxieties and the real questions that he has.
Mrs. Pickens is hearing Night Call. She's calling in from San Diego, California, and she's hearing Night Call over KOGO. Mrs. Pickens, good evening.
Good evening.
Your question, ma'am.
Well, I am a person who worked in Planned Parenthood for about 5 years in San Diego, and we have been very successful here. However, I think the Planned Parenthood program is, I think Mary Calderon's program is a step up from Planned Parenthood. I think that what she is advocating should be spread as widely as our Planned Parenthood program. Now, we were the first step. I think she's the step now. What I would like is to know if there are any pamphlets or if she has printed or has reprints of all of her talks that she has given that I would like to have, and perhaps some of the other people who are listening would like to get from her.
Well, thank you. Did you know that I was
sorry,
medical director of the National
going over and I can't hear you now.
For 11 years?
Yes. Okay, now it's all right.
Did you know that I was medical director of the National Planned Parenthood Federation for
yes,
11
I
years?
Yes, I certainly do, and I have very great admiration for you and your work.
And I didn't feel that I was stepping up when I left Planned Parenthood 4 years ago to help found Seekers, but I did feel that we were broadening the approach.
Yes, this is exactly what I meant to say, and I wasn't able to put it in words.
Well, yes, all anybody has to do is to write Seekers, S-I-E-C-U-S, at 1855 Broadway in New York. And if you send a self-addressed stamp business envelope and ask for a reading list, you'll get a reading list from which you can pick out materials that you'd like.
Well, I'm very grateful for that information. I happen to have six young people in my family between the ages of 18 and 25. I don't think that there's too much that I can do for them, but they have families coming up now.
Of course.
And I'd like to keep aboard. I'm no longer in Planned Parenthood work, but I'd like to pursue this broadening aspect of it, and I'm very grateful for your information. I thank you very
much. Thank you. There's a wonderful book just out by Time Life called How Babies Are Made. That's delightful.
Time Life?
Mm-hmm. Time Life Incorporated. It just put out a book that we helped with called How Babies Are Made. It's really delightful. It's for children from 3 to 8.
From 3 to 8.
So when you have grandchildren, remember it.
Well, I'm hoping for them. And I will, and I thank you very much for
thank
your
you.
Information. Good night.
Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York. Sex and Society is our conversation tonight with Dr. Mary Calderon, who's calling in from New York, and this time we will take a call from New York. Mr. Johnson is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Johnson, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question, sir.
I would like to know how could Dr.
Calderon
say that there is less sex play? I would like to know how can she say this nowadays than some woman had asked her before, and...
No, I said there was more.
Oh, you said there was more?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you said there was more sex play.
At younger ages.
At younger ages?
Yes.
But I
feel... But short of intercourse. The intercourse rate has not increased that greatly.
Oh, you say that the intercourse rate has not increased...
As greatly as a lot of people think.
Well, I have to seriously disagree with you on that.
Well,
I think that you should come right here in Harlem and take a survey right down on Harlem Hospital.
Ah, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. This has to do, I'm talking about the overall rate. When you go to the small towns in Kansas and in the Midwest, and everything balances out.
A small town? New York City happens to be the largest city in the United States.
Wait a minute. Would you listen to me for a second? If you take the average for the United States, the small small towns will balance the rates in the large cities. That is the source of the figures, and they're very accurate, because the teenage illegitimacy rate has not risen very greatly in the past 20 years. And teenagers do not have access to birth control. It is rising now, yes, but it has not risen nearly as greatly as the illegitimacy rate in women 25 to 35. That is where the enormous rise has occurred, not in teenagers.
No, I'm speaking in between 16 to, let's say, about to 20.
No, that is not where the rise has occurred. It has risen there, too. The numbers, of course, have risen, but the rates have not risen.
Oh, the rates have not risen.
You see what I'm driving at? The numbers have risen, they're not...
If I understand, you're going to about small towns.
No, but you see, you have to take an overall rate for the United States. The rate may be high in one place and low in another.
You're talking about a national average, Mr. Johnson,
right.
And you're talking about 50 states as opposed to just one area. Now, there is a possibility that maybe in Harlem or maybe in smaller areas or that the rate may be higher, but it balances itself out when you think of total figures. Now, if you want to address your question to a particular area, then the figures would again be different.
They would be very different. That's correct.
Oh, I'm glad. I understand this now.
Yes.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Dr. Mary Calderon, and our discussion of sex and society right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest, Dr. Mary Calderon, after station identification.
The most obvious symbols of today's affluent society are the outdoor barbecue and the sports car. The most incongruous is the rat. According to the 1960 census, more than 4 million urban dwellings were completely dilapidated. 3 million more were badly deteriorated. And another 2 million had serious code violations or were overcrowded. If building codes were enforced, most ghetto buildings would be boarded up. During the 1930s, we saved the farms from starvation. Now the cities need help before they die of neglect. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Mary Calderon about sex and society. Call Night Call Collect from the East and the Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And this time, we'll go out to Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Moore is hearing Night Call over WJLB. Mr. Moore, good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question, sir.
Well, I just wanted to tell her we have 4 small daughters, too, and we wanted to talk in terms of her and concern this early sex education among the children, and we want to know what benefit it would be to... I want to hear her opinion of what benefit it would be.
I didn't hear the whole question.
What benefit would it be to teach your children?
At such an early age, yes.
Well, what ages are your children?
Well, my daughter is 6. I have one at 14. That's the oldest one. The smallest one is 6.
14?
No, the oldest one is 14.
Yes, the oldest one is 14.
Yes.
And the youngest is 6, Doctor.
And the youngest is 6.
Right.
Well, certainly by the age of 6, I imagine that your daughters would know about babies, about mothers and fathers.
Yes.
About the relationships, how important families are, and the responsibilities of mothers and fathers. She probably knows the process of fertilization and conception and birth. And the questions come naturally to you.
just as they would at the age of 14, I imagine.
Yeah, that is very true, Doctor, but what I'm speaking about. Now, do you think that would help a little later on in life as, say, like a Planned Parenthood deal?
Well, you see, I think that parents need to do a great deal more than just give facts.
That's
facts
very
are no
true.
Good to us unless we learn how to use them. And the whole morality question, how you use your life, the responsibility with which you use the various gifts that you have, including sex, this is part of the parent's job to teach. But what we do, what we find is many, many parents who don't know how or who don't bother, and the lesson is lost on the young people. They grow up not understanding how powerful these forces are and how to manage them. We all have to manage these forces.
That is.
And so that's when young people get into trouble.
That is very true. Now, do you think, Doctor, that would be beneficial in to this illegitimate birth rate that's going up over the nation, and to start off at a very early age, you know, and to try to plan and help them, because you find quite a few young ladies nowadays, they don't have a husband, but they have many, many children, and then we have quite a few, here in Michigan, I know, we have the ADC mothers, they are picketing among themselves, they want more clothing, but then you find ladies don't want to get along with their husbands. But now, do you think to start off at an early age that would benefit my little daughter, I would say, to learn?
Mr. Moore, am I reading you right in this instance that you feel that if you teach a child total sexuality at an early age, that this might give the child the impression that you have a permissive attitude? Is this
no,
what you're saying?
I wouldn't say it that way. I would say it to, if they know the responsibility at a very early age, then maybe in a later life, when they get a little older and when they do get their own children, then they would know that there is a responsibility. I mean, do you think that responsibility would be much more heavier at a little later date by starting early? Would that be much more beneficial?
Well, there's no question about it that the whole question of responsibility, we have to bring it into the lives of our children probably earlier than we do, and not only about sex, but about all our actions. But one of the things that worries me is that everybody thinks that the responsibility is the girl, the woman,
no.
the female. And nobody ever mentions the responsibility of the man.
Yeah.
Nor do we bring up our boys to have a feeling of responsibility.
That's
exactly
true.
What's happening and what their role is. So I feel very strongly that sex education has to happen not only in the home, but in the churches and in the schools. So that both boys and girls will understand that this is not a toy that's been given to them to play with.
It's a very powerful
life force.
Doctor, we've heard mentioned tonight, we've heard references to the illegitimacy rate. What is your opinion of the illegitimacy among younger women? Is it due to the fact that there has been no sexual education, or are there other factors involved that we don't discuss?
There are other factors involved, and the first gentleman who's concerned about the situation in Harlem, and of course we're all concerned about the situation in all of the big cities particularly, we have to remember that children grow up and do the things they see the adults around them doing. Therefore, a girl of 12 and 13 and 14 who grows up in an environment in which it's the accepted thing for people of all ages to have sexual intercourse without protection and without being married, you cannot blame that child if she simply follows along, and he follows along for that matter, what he sees the adults doing.
That is very true, Doctor. But now, most times, the child, we could teach them into the home. We could try to teach them very well. But a lot of their learning, they would learn from the street.
Yes,
I'm
they
do. I'm speaking only from a standpoint of having six children of my own. I have four daughters and I have two sons. And we try to be strongly and confirm and firm with them. And we try to bring them up to be responsible from even brushing their teeth in the morning to make sure that they are in school, and we really check that out.
Mm-hmm.
We check it out in such a manner where if my son is late from school, his counselor has the direct telephone number, and we will call, and
yes.
we also check the report cards, and we try to check things out very thoroughly, not only through just their sexual activities, which we don't know about right now.
But everything.
But everything from, in fact, we as parents, my wife is on the line too, and she knows to be true, but we try to check things out.
Well, I think they're very lucky children to have parents who watch and care for them as closely as you do. I think one of the great difficulties is the number of parents who do not know where their children are and who they're with.
And then when we try to do the very best we can,
yes.
and then...
Mr. Moore, we want to thank you so much for calling.
Oh, you're cutting me off.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. We have calls standing by in Seattle, Washington, in Mobile, Alabama, New York City. A lot of people would like to talk to the doctor tonight.
Okay, well, I can understand the limited program, so thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and this time we'll go out to Seattle, Washington. We have Professor Gratiati, who's calling in from KUOW-FM. Professor?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Do you think that I am asking to the doctor there if the sex, the success of the of a person is related with sex, and if the success is a matter of abstinence of sex?
The success of a person is a matter of the personality structure of the person. Sex is used according to the personality structure. It doesn't cause failure and doesn't cause success.
But because we have records and the history, the Renaissance, that Leonardo da Vinci and the Michelangelo not only hated sex, but they also abhorred to get married. They never have been together with women.
Well, that's a matter of history that I don't know about, but I would hesitate to draw parallels between two individuals. And particularly would I hesitate to draw parallels between the Renaissance and modern times. The world has never existed as it is today. You can't generalize from two individuals.
Are you an instructor, sir?
Yes.
At what institution?
On my own. I teach in my own school.
What is your school, sir?
The Graziati Studios of Fine Art.
Oh.
The what, sir?
The Graziati Studios of Fine Art.
Oh, I see. Right, sir. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and we'll take our next call from Mobile, Alabama. Mr. Patio is calling in from WKRG. Mr. Patio, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Shield.
Your question, sir?
Two very short and simple questions. Is Dr. Calderon a married woman first?
Indeed, yes. I'm a mother and a grandmother.
Good. Well, good for you. I think perhaps you should have begun the program by perhaps a little explanation of the source of the facts of the program. I'm very curious about that, and I think a lot of other people would be also.
I'm not clear what it is you're asking.
On what do you base your opinion for the program? What sort of study, or what sort of facts, or poll, or
let me say this, that the Sex Information and Education Council is not a program. It's a voluntary health organization formed in the same way that the American Cancer Society or the March of Dimes is formed.
Yes, I understand that very well.
And the board is made up of sociologists, psychiatrists, pediatricians, marriage counselors, lawyers, and educators at all levels, about 50 specialists, serving each one a three-year term. And obviously, of course, there's a great deal of literature to draw on. A great deal of original research is going on, and we try and keep up with it. But we do not have a program. We believe every community should develop its own program.
No, that's not what I asked,
but I don't understand.
Now, I'd like to know specifically from whence you draw your facts, upon which you draw your opinions, apparently. I don't understand. Is it polls, or is it opinion, or just what is it?
No, there are scientific journals, the Journal of Sociology, the Journal of Psychiatry, the Journal of Marriage and the Family. All of these carry reports of various studies on various aspects of identity, sexual identity, roles, and you have to elaborate your not your opinions, but your knowledge based on the studies that have been made scientifically. There are opinion polls, but they don't mean anything.
Well, what you're saying then is your answers to these many questions are drawn strictly from fact, from polls, from figures, from experiences, which you think are generally representative?
Well, yes, they're drawn from scientific studies by sociologists, anthropologists, psychiatrists, and educators.
Doctor and Mr. Patio, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt for station identification. Mr. Patio, thank you so much for calling, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Sex and education, or I should say sex and society, rather, is our conversation tonight with Dr. Mary Calderon calling in from New York. We'll return with more calls right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Dr. Mary Calderon after station identification. Next week on Night Call, a black entrepreneur, a white consumer expert, a pro-Arab Jew, the Indian wife of a U.S. senator, and Godfrey Cambridge. Monday, Dr. Thomas Matthew of NEGRO, the National Economic Growth and Reconstruction Organization. Tuesday, presidential consumer advisor Betty Furness. Wednesday, Middle East expert Alfred Lilienthal. Thursday, Mrs. Fred Harris, a full-blooded Comanche Indian, wife of the Oklahoma senator. And Friday, comedian Godfrey Cambridge. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect, from anywhere in the country to Mary Calderon about sex and society. Call Night Call Collect from the East and the Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And a welcome to the Night Call stations who join us nightly for the second half hour. Our guest tonight, Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council of the United States. And tonight we are discussing and conversing on sex and society. So during this next half hour, we'll go first to Kenosha, Wisconsin. Mr. Vince is hearing Night Call over WTMJ in Milwaukee. Mr. Vince, good evening, sir.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Just fine, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Vince. I spent my earliest years in Milwaukee.
Oh, really?
The first 2 years, anyway.
Well, right now I'm in those years. I'm a student doctor.
Yes?
And my question doesn't relate specifically to sex education, or I don't have a question right there. My question is that I'm giving a speech or a talk on this subject in a speech class that I have. And this speech will be about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I would like to know is, what do you think would be important points to stress on the subject of sex education to an audience in the age range of 18 to 21 years of age?
Well, I doubt if I could give you 10 minutes on this.
Well, no, what I meant
was... I think the important thing would be to draw their attention to the need for this generation to decide how... the role that sex is going to play in their lives and how they're going to manage their male-female relationships. This generation is going to have to decide whether or not they want to continue the family, the marriage, all of the institutions of society that authorities believe are very important to society.
I see. Now, what would you think, say, as far as giving, like, a history of sex education and the improvements that have come along in the
last... Well, I don't think you could learn about it in 10 minutes, in 10 days, and I don't think you could speak about it in 10 minutes.
I see.
I'm afraid that would be quite superficial.
That's true. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, Sex and Society, and our guest tonight is Dr. Mary Calderon of the Sex Information and Education Council of the United States. Doctor, during the early part of the program, we asked you a question, and you said you did not want to answer it. That particular point. You felt that it would be better if we would wait. Perhaps some of the younger people calling in might want to answer it, but I was wondering whether or not you might feel inclined to answer the question now.
What was that?
The purpose of sex.
Well, do you remember I said that I was never going to answer that because I think every person has to answer that for himself.
Oh, I see. I didn't hear that. All right. We'll go out to Kansas City, Kansas. Mr. Swansea is hearing Night Call over KPRS-FM. Mr. Swansea, good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening. I wanted to ask a question of the doctor in regards to sex as it pertains to racism in America. I wanted to know what her opinion was on it.
Well, what would you like an opinion on?
Well, what I wanted to find out, I, being non-white, I feel a lot of times, and then I've done a little reading, especially Calvin C. Harrington's book, and it appears to us as males, non-whites, that sex plays a very important part in the white psyche and the black psyche in regards to race relations here in the United States.
I don't know what kind of a part you're talking about.
Well, the myths, you know.
There are an awful lot of myths, I agree with you.
Yes, but I mean, in regards to, let's say, school integration, mm-hmm. the last standpoint.
I think you're right. I think that a great deal of antagonism between people, not just between the races, relates to some of these sexual myths.
Right.
And the time that we became aware of the myths and became aware of the truths.
Yes, but I mean now, even in college when we went to school and we had the sex classes like you're talking about, nothing was ever discussed in regards to sex as it pertained to racism, which is a key factor. I mean,
well, I still don't. I'm not quite clear what connection you're making.
Well, what I'm trying to find out is what your opinion would be in regards to it. Now, you admit that there are myths in regards to it. Now, my stand is that sex is one of the most important things in regards to racism. I mean, I think
this is what I don't know. To me, sex has nothing to do with racism except that the myths of some people, that's all.
Well, I think it has more than just that. I mean,
well, tell me, I'd be interested to know.
Well, one main factor is a very attitude that everyone has in regards to it. We say the Southern attitude. And the two myths still become the demasculation constantly, even on television today and within the movies of the black man, and always the matriarchal appearance of the black woman, and then the white woman also is set into a certain category of purity, so to speak. And
that's a lot of bunk.
I don't
think
so.
There are as many matriarchal white women as there are matriarchal black women.
Oh, yes, but I mean, we carry it further than that. It doesn't just...
Wait, Mr. Brown, I think first when we talk about myths, you know, myths become so established that sometimes we tend to accept them as truth. Now, I think let's get to the specifics. I think I have an idea of what you're saying, but we have to get down to the specifics. You know, many of us have read Donald Harrington's book, and many of us are aware of the problems that black men have. We are also aware, I think, of the problem that I think Dr. Greer said, that most black men are psychotic in this particular society in which we live in. But let's get to the specifics of, and let the doctor answer the question.
It doesn't specifically have to do with sex, however.
Right.
Okay, I'm about it.
You know, there are people who say this. You know, so, like, if you ask a specific question, the doctor will answer it.
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't know exactly how to phrase a specific question. I'll sum it up. I'll ask this question. If everything else, if all things being equal were left, how would we dissolve the remaining sexual attitudes that prevail and to start the consciousness of the people? What would we do from there on? I mean, as far as teaching or something, how would you go from there
I honestly don't think this has anything to do with racism. I think that learning about how to be sexual has to do with learning how to be human.
Well, okay.
How to treat each other.
I'll go back. I'll ask you this then, how would you look at it from this standpoint? Do you think anything in regards to the parental attitude predominantly, say, now, I think... The inference of one of the fellows in regards to Harlem. I mean, now, still, even when you discuss sex and we discuss birth control and all this, it becomes a non-white factor unconsciously stated.
I just don't see why it has anything to do with color.
But
it woman
definitely
has
does. I mean, otherwise I wouldn't ask you this question. This is what I'm saying.
But I don't see it.
It must have a bearing or the insinuation of all the articles would lean towards this. This is the thing. I mean, it's pretty hard to just come out and ask you a specific question because it's a much broader subject than just a pinpoint. Now, for instance, the attitudes, primarily, I will admit that now here would be a generalization again. Let's say within the non-white community, sex is approached from a different standpoint within, say, the white community.
Attitude. You just can't draw these conclusions. You can't.
I'm not trying to draw conclusions. This is the whole thing. I'm asking you a question, and you keep saying, no, sex and racism don't exist. I didn't say that.
Well, I said I don't particularly see the connection unless you make it clear to me.
Well, this is the whole thing. I'm trying to make it clear. I think you understand.
Mr. Swansea, let me get in here for just a moment.
Okay,
now,
explain.
Are we right in assuming now that some of the myths, let's discuss some of the myths first.
One of the myths is the impotency of the white man and the so-called virile Negro. Okay, that's one of the big myths, I think. I think that's one of the myths, right? That's one of the basic myths.
Okay. There's a myth that there's a difference in potency, right?
Yes.
There certainly is a myth that there's a difference in the size of the sexual organs, right?
Yes, that is one of the myths.
That's a myth. Okay.
Yes.
It's a myth to me that the black man or the black woman is any more irresponsible than the white man or the white woman.
I buy that, too.
All right. So, again, I don't see the relationship.
Well, I think you do, and I think you don't.
No.
This is my hang-up, Mr. Swansea.
No, it's not a hang-up. We're discussing a myth, and you asked an authority, and she gave an opinion.
Right.
Night Call's purpose, because I assume
she's learned it, and the thing is, we are talking on the telephone, and a lot
no,
of
well, this, I just wanted to clear up one of these things, then we'll go into another call, but
okay.
The problem when we're talking about a myth, and I'm assuming you're a brother, and I'm a brother, and I'm well aware of these myths, but what we're talking about is this. Most of us have been victims of believing that these myths are actual truth because nobody has ever stopped to find out where did the myth begin.
This is what I want to find. Now you have actually said what I wanted to say.
Good, but I wish you'd said it.
But a lot of things are going on in my head at the same time. I have a million questions.
Well, listen, I'd like to keep you on, but we've got to go to Columbia, South Carolina,
and
New Orleans.
But if you'd like to write to the doctor,
you can write to her at 1855 Broadway,
I
New
will.
York.
I have a book. I'm going to write a book to her.
Right. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
To Columbia, South Carolina, this time to Mr. Brown, who's hearing Night Call over WOIC. Mr. Brown, good evening, sir.
Oh, good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Doctor.
Yes.
In our school, we have a lot of students that use the wrong word in sex. And they think that sex is a very nasty word to use. And also that they learn the wrong form of the human body part, and it's called the different names.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell them, the teacher objects to it, and what would be the best way to discuss this?
Are you in high school, sir?
Yes.
Well, I think that in many schools they're now providing books and classes and films where the young people can learn the proper words, the proper terminology. They don't have to always use the proper terminology. Certainly, there are many slang words that many people use at different times. But it's also good to know the real scientific terminology for the parts of the body and the various reproductive cycle and so forth. And there's plenty of material available. And if the young people say they would like to have it because they would like to learn more about themselves and how to lead responsible lives, I think the grown-ups will provide it for them.
Does that answer your question, sir?
And I have one more question.
Right.
On that, would this increase the population in the United States, sort of as China, it has a very large population. Would this sort of bring it to a normal birth rate instead of illegitimate childbirth?
Well, now you're talking several different things. After all, if we learn about our bodies and we learn about how reproduction works and we learn how to be responsible towards each other, we're going to learn that producing a child that doesn't have a father and a mother to look after it is not a very responsible action. So that just passing out
contraceptives and pills doesn't mean much. It's what people do with them and how they feel about themselves and their own lives and how they build self-respect into their lives. That's what's going to change the picture.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you for coming. Sex and Society, our conversation tonight with Dr. Mary Calderon, calling in from New York City, and we'll return to our guest right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
Tomorrow night on Night Call, Esquire magazine political commentator Dwight McDonald has some non-put-on ideas for drastically amending our federal constitution, like abolish the presidency and the vice presidency. Have a chairman instead, not elected by popular vote, and serving 6 years or less if he cannot command a majority in Congress. Extend the term of representatives to 4 years. Elect senators and representatives without a residence requirement. And have the Congress, senators 3 votes, representatives 1 vote, elect the chairman. Make service in the armed forces voluntary in peace and war. Abolish the space program until we have the Earth running pretty well. And have a guaranteed minimum wage. Esquire magazine political commentator Dwight McDonald on Fixing the Constitution, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in the country to Mary Calderon about sex and society. Call Night Call Collect from the East and the Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And this time we go out to New Orleans to station WDSU, where Professor O'Gara is hearing Night Call. Professor, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Thank you for calling.
I'd like to ask you a couple of questions if I can.
Yes, would you speak up, sir?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, sir.
Okay, the question I'd like to ask is, so far they've been talking about the new sexual freedom. And I have a couple of questions on some of these new movies that are being made because of this new sexual freedom. I'd like to know, first of all, what do you think the effect on the younger people will be if they're allowed to see these pictures?
I think that this is something that parents have to think about very, very seriously. Certainly, if a film is very explicit in showing sexual intercourse or sexual play, it will have the same effect on young children as seeing their own parents in the home. It will be threatening, it will be seductive, it will be exciting, it will be overstimulating. However, parents have an obligation, I think, to see to it that their children see the films they want them to see. And the other day I noticed that in a movie theater that I went to, the manager was standing in the lobby and advising parents with young children that this was a film for mature audiences. And I was astonished at how many parents said, oh, she won't notice, or, well, I didn't have a babysitter, and so I brought her anyway. Or, well, I don't care about sex as long as it's part of the story. It's when they drag it in that I don't think their children ought to see it. Now, these are very irresponsible attitudes on the part of the parents. In the end, the responsibility for bringing up your children is yours.
Well, the reason I'm asking is the thing is that I'm a licensed engineer with the FCC. I have been working in the field. I'm a professor now of electrical engineering technology.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my students have been explaining to me some of the pictures that they've seen, although I don't go to the movies myself. And some of the things they say sound quite devastating. But right now, some of these TV stations are getting a hold of a few of these films, although they don't go too far.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
He said that some of the television stations are getting some of the films that the students were discussing.
Yes.
And now they seem to be bringing these pictures into the home by TV.
That's right.
Now, we are contacted the FCC since I am an FCC engineer. I have a license, and I got a letter back from them saying that there is absolutely nothing they can do about halting obscene movies from TV. So what can the parents do in order to sort of combat some of this stuff?
Well, in the first place, it isn't only movies. There have been sexy ads, and there has been violence in films right in the homes for years, and parents have done nothing about it. They don't police their television. They don't watch what their children are seeing. They just let them alone. And I think it is definitely up to the parents to police their own television viewing in the home.
Okay, thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, Sex and Society, our conversation tonight with Dr. Mary Calderone, and this time out to Indianapolis, Indiana we go, where Miss Sharp is hearing Night Call over WTLC. Miss Sharp, good evening.
Good evening. I would like to ask a question of the doctor.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm a high school senior, and I would like to know, do you think that premarital sex will ever be accepted by our American society?
Well, that's a very interesting question. There's an awful lot of people debating that question. Certainly, that in other parts of the world, not only in Sweden, but in other parts of the world, many parts of the world, premarital sex with the man you intend to marry is an accepted thing. It hasn't been in the American society. Some sociologists think that it will. But you have to be careful to know what you mean by when you say premarital sex, not just with anybody, but with the man you're going to marry. Now, some sociologists think that this will be acceptable sometime in the next 10 years or so. Others not. I don't know, because I'm not a sociologist. I'm just a doctor.
Do you feel it should be accepted, Miss Sharp?
Well, I'm not, no, I don't think so. Well, not now, maybe later on, but not now, I don't think it should be.
All right.
This has to be a matter of personal decision, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
In the end, you can accept it now if you want, or you can reject it now if you want. And this is a choice that we'll always be able to make on our own. We don't have to go along and do what the herd does, ever.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York and out to Lexington, Kentucky. Mr. Haney is hearing Night Call over WBKY-FM. Mr. Haney?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question.
Dr. Calderon, I wondered specifically just how a person should react to pointed questions about sex from, say, a preschool or an elementary student, a child at this age level. Just what kind of answer should one give? And
the truth. How would you react to pointed questions about space flight, how a car runs? You know.
I see.
The truth.
But just
But the simple truth, not a book. The simple truth.
Yes, I see.
And the facts are very simple.
Right. And I would ask another question. I wonder how you feel that for those who would engage, say, in premarital sex, how you feel about the availability of birth control devices to those who would desire them, but aren't married, to single persons.
Well, at the present time, birth control is in the hands of a physician. Birth control, good birth control methods are prescription methods and have to be prescribed by a physician. And most physicians that I know, at any rate, who I know, want to take the total health needs of the patient in mind before they make a decision. Now, obviously, they're very, very reluctant to give birth control to a young, unmarried girl, particularly. The question never seems to come up with males, and I think this is a pity because they should share this responsibility. But a 14 or 15-year-old girl very rarely comes in asking for birth control. What happens is she gets pregnant, and then after she's delivered a baby, then the question of birth control comes up.
Okay. Then it is handled by the physician now.
It
Do you think that they should be made available from some other source, say, that some allowance should be made for the fact that girls are getting pregnant?
No, I don't believe in this.
You don't think this should happen?
I do not, because I think that far more important is education about pregnancy, about reproduction, about the responsibility of people not
about
to get
probably
pregnant.
What you're saying is just about how this girl really she's misusing sex then, and she should have known. Huh?
Well, I think she can make her own decisions on that if she's had the proper background. That's the point. Nobody has to tell her. But I've dealt with many, many young people all over the country, and I'm always deeply impressed with their intelligence and their sense of responsibility as they discuss these matters with each other.
Mr. Haney, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for one more short call, and this time we'll go to Schenectady, New York. Mrs. Freeman is hearing Night Call over WGY. Mrs. Freeman, good evening.
Good evening. I'd like to ask Dr. Calderon whether she thinks we will ever have a more dependable basis for sex identity than such transient things as clothing styles and the kind of work one does.
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Now, I think that's almost the essence of sex education. And as a matter of fact, the whole question of sexual identity, that is, of masculinity and femininity, is in a great state of flux in this society. And I don't mean only the externals, either. I think that many sociologists are aware that men are feeling quite threatened by women who have evolved in a very interesting and strong way in the last 20 years, and that the whole question of what a man does and what a woman does in the world is a very open one. Women are a lot freer to do what they want than men are. And I think that the society does have an obligation to be far clearer in its understanding of different roles for men and women and the whole question of sexual identity.
Mrs. Freeman?
Yes. The reason that I asked that question is that I feel very strongly that sex is something which should not be, you should not be able to put on and off with a garment. I feel that my sex is more basic than what I wear or what I do. So this is a question that I would like to see settled sometime in the
future. Are you talking about gender?
Gender, yes.
Well, this of course, is a very complex, very, very complex subject, and I don't know enough about it to go into it over the telephone. Mm-hmm. Gender identity has become one of the most important questions today in the whole medical aspect of sex.
Mrs. Freeman, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Thank you. This is Nicole in New York, and of course, time has run out on us when we are unable to take any additional calls, but a reminder to you, each night that you can't get through to us, that we are as sorry as you are, but you can always drop us a note. You can drop your mail or mail your letter to Night Call. That's Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip code 10970. And if we ourselves can't answer the question with our staff, we certainly will pass it on to one of our guests. Dr. Calderon, we want to thank you for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And we hope that in some small way we were able to educate and perhaps inform just a few people. Thank you very much for being with us.
We can always hope.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, political commentator Dwight McDonald of Esquire magazine. He wants to radically change our Constitution. Listen tomorrow night, discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.